My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
I was actually thinking about what has gone wrong or what's kind of tough for the Anaheim Ducks this season, despite the last couple losses and the loss to Colorado. But the toughest thing I think they've been dealing with is the internet connection, at least Alexis has. So now that we have that straightened out, thanks to producer Stefan, I appreciate it. The powers of technology, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Anyway, you're here. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, you know, we've had some issues here and there, but glad we were able to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. I'm just kidding around. Alexis Downey, host, pre-post, content producer at the Anaheim Ducks, and see and hear her as well in DuckStream joining us. One of the great stories, Alexis, as you know, we'll get into a whole bunch of different things with Anaheim, the NHL as well. We'll go 77 seconds in with you also. No timer. I mentioned that to you this week, so we're all good. One of the great stories with the NHL this season is the play of San Jose, for example, Chicago, and the Anaheim Ducks. So right now, last year at this point, I looked at the stats. They were 5-8-2, and they had 12 points. Now they have 23 points, 11-5-1. Two losses, no problem. They're fine. Your expectations going in, is it fair to assume that they've exceeded your expectations in the first month?
Yeah, definitely. I think that they've exceeded the expectations of everyone.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Me included. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really just, it's been so exciting. And I will say, though, coming into the year, it was a different feel around the team. Obviously, you bring in a new coaching staff, new head coach, some new faces with the additions, but it just felt different at training camp this year. And you could tell that there was more energy, renewed sense of this team. And I think that the early success in some ways might not be that surprising because of that energy, but to the extent that we've seen it, yes, quite a big shock to the league and the team in itself. I mean, they've been gelling so well together. Also, like in the locker room, you see it every day. It's been amazing out of the gates. And sometimes we catch ourselves, okay, it's still early. So, and I think that's kind of been the reminder this week with these last two games.
Yeah. And with all due respect to Anaheim, I mean, Colorado Avalanche, they're just, it's unbelievable how well they're playing, right? I mean, nobody can beat them. Of course, one team did. But to your point about the whole training camp mentality and the difference in the training camp, I was looking at the average age of this team. They're the fifth youngest the Anaheim Ducks are in the league. And then I look closer and they're the sixth youngest or whatever team with the least amount of experience. On average, it's about 9 years of NHL experience. So with that, putting that into context of what you were saying about training camp, it's a youthful team. It's a young mentality. So do you think that's kind of like, well, we're not going to let things get to us and the pressure get to us this season? And do you think that's a bit of the mentality now that we're seeing translating into success on the ice?
I definitely think it is. And this group, they just have a way of going about themselves where, they don't let things bother them. Right. Obviously, they're out working hard every time they're on the ice. And that's been very evident. But yeah, I think with the younger guys, you get a fun sense from them. I mean, you talk about a guy like Leo Carlson, he's so young. And every time you're around him, he's just having fun. And I think that's what it is. This group is having fun. And with that youth, it's kind of even taught the veterans and the older guys some things as well, you know, to just not be serious all the time. And it goes both ways. It's a nice balance, but I do think that the younger group has brought that sense of, we're going to have fun. we're going to work hard. And that's kind of what this team is. And you do forget how young they are sometimes because of what we're seeing.
Right. And you see that some of the youngsters on the team, you mentioned Leo, who's been incredible. He's having an amazing season. Mason Marchman is another. Cutter Gauthier's younger. Beckett Seneca is also young. Can you talk a bit about Leo Carlson and the season that he's had? Because when you talk about him, you need to mention a guy like Connor Bedard in Chicago, Macklin Celebrini in San Jose. It's kind of like we're seeing, and we're being spoiled as hockey fans, we're seeing the youth on top of the McDavids, then on top of the Crosbys and the Malkins and the Ovechkins now. We have every age doing incredible things right now.
It's a new wave of young superstars. I think that's the most exciting thing, too, is just seeing, I mean, that Macklin Celebrini, Connor Bedard, Leo Carlson at the top of the points leaders. You know, at one point, I mean, obviously McKinnon up there, but they're up there. And it just speaks to this new wave of talent that we're seeing. But for Leo, I mean, I think he's also someone that has exceeded expectations this year. The jump that he's taken in his game, I mean, he's a superstar already, and I'm so excited to see what these next couple of years are going to be for him, the upcoming Olympics, you know, how he can shine there for Sweden. So early in the year, you know, he came back from his training over the summer, felt very relaxed when I talked to him, just had a good summer of training, got bigger, got stronger, got faster. And not only that, but it's the confidence that he's playing with on the ice. It's made everyone around him better. I always say that if the team relies on his success, if he's succeeding on the ice, the team is succeeding. And it's this domino effect with him. You see his playmaking, and it's a really incredible. And I've talked to Chris Kreider about it, who's been playing on a line with him. And Kreider has just said, I mean, he could play with anyone. He's that good. He's so skilled. And I, you know, every time Coach Q talks about him, he's just, it's not even leaps and bounds the growth that he's had. I mean, it's beyond that. So yeah, I love that he's been getting all this attention around the league too. It's so deserved. But yeah, it's cool to see him and Bedard, you know, same draft class, kind of going at the same time. I think it's a really good thing for hockey.
I want to get your thoughts on Coach Q. And I had a discussion with someone a couple of weeks back, and I said, and this is a hard thing to say because you really don't know. For example, Martin St. Louis, I believe, is the right coach for Montreal. I do believe that Joel Quenneville is the right coach for Anaheim. This person said to me, how can someone who's 67 be the right coach for a young team? Where are your thoughts on that? Because again, we know what Coach Q's done in the league. He's been around a very long time. He was away for a bit. Now he's back. And again, this is a youthful league. So where do you stand on that?
It's an interesting thought because you wonder, how does he connect with these young players, this new generation, Gen Z, we'll say, where they're always on their phones, you know, they're always on the social media and all that. But it works. And that's something that, you know, coming into the year with Coach Q, when we first had his introductory press conference, I actually had the chance to sit down with him right before that and get to know him a little bit. And I was blown away. I just, he walks in a room and you feel his presence. It's a sense of respect for him. But not only that, but he loves to get to know people off the ice. And I think that's really played a role in his success with this young group. And you look back at his coaching career, when he took over Chicago, when he took over the Panthers in Florida, they had these young pieces and they had to grow them. And that's what he did with, specifically in Chicago, you think about, and success that they had. So we knew that bringing in a guy like Coach Q, I mean, his pedigree speaks for itself and his, all of his, you know, accolades and all that, but it felt like, it really felt like the right fit. And then when we, you know, had a couple of the Ducks players at the press conference, all they had to say was good things about him in their past interactions. A guy like Frank Vetrano, who played for him in Florida, just said, he's the best coach I've ever played for. And to hear that in the summer and then come into the year with that, I mean, that was the buzz all around the team. The guys in the offseason, they're texting each other, they're staying in contact, they're all excited to have this new coach and someone who brings so much experience. And then you just see him interacting with the players, and We actually had, I believe it was our home opener. There was a mic'd up clip of Q on the bench and he's talking to Leo and Leo makes a funny comment and Q's just laughing and it's in the middle of the game. And it's amazing how well he's connected with these young players, but it's working. And I do feel like he has been exactly what this group has needed.
A lot of these players on the team could be his son based on the age gap, right? Yeah. If you think about it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. And I saw too, when I mentioned about Martin St. Louis, a number of weeks ago, there was a game, Montreal was going to overtime, and I saw this clip on TV and it really struck home to me. And I'm wondering, Coach Q is kind of like this way as well. On the ice were Lane Hudson, Cole Caulfield, and Nick Suzuki, and they were about to start 3-on-3 overtime. And I looked at the clip, and I didn't see Martin St. Louis, and I was looking at his face. He didn't say a single word. All he was doing was nodding up and down. And I thought, these three young players who are extremely young, the core of that team, are telling him something. So after the game, all three said, yeah, he asked them, what do you think the game plan should be for overtime? And they're the three young. You don't see that a lot in the NHL. Is there kind of the sense that that's what Coach Q does as well? He listens, even though he has an extreme knowledge of the game. He listens to these young players a lot.
Definitely. And, you know, that actually reminds me of something he just said to us the other day. The Ducks, you know, they went on this win streak.
Yep.
After the games, he doesn't go in the locker room. He lets them have their moment together as a team because he feels that that's really important for the group. So that really stuck out to me because, you know, some coaches might feel the need to, hey, go in there, share a message to the group. That wasn't the case for him. And I believe it was after the Vegas win on the road. We asked him, hey, what was the message? He said, I haven't given a message yet. I let them have, you know, their enjoyment last night, enjoyed the win, camaraderie in the locker room. That's now great. I give the message today, the next day. So I do believe that, you know, he's instilled that confidence in them and the young players and the veteran group, the leadership group, all of those different groups in the locker room. I mean, they're working together and it's not like they're relying on the coaching staff to always speak up because they are able to do it on their own. And Coach Q just lets them have their space sometimes.
I think that's so important, not just in hockey, but in life in general, right? At the moment, sometimes things don't need to be said. And then the next day, when you think about it and whenever, then you can address it a little bit easier to the players, such as the young ones in Anaheim. Speaking of the players, not a younger one, an older one, Radko Gudas. He can be the meanest person on the ice, but I've heard that he is one of the nicest people off of it. Am I right in that?
Yeah, he really is. He has a big family. His family is all around. He's very family oriented. And that's the main thing that sticks out to me about him. He kind of just takes people under his wing. That's just who he is.
Seems that way.
It is funny because, you do watch him on the ice and off the ice. It's just such a different person. And it's funny too, because last year when he became the Ducks captain, I did actually sit down and I asked him, I said, people know you as the Butcher, but what do you want your legacy to be off the ice? And he said, I just want people to know who I am, a community guy, a family man, and, you know, someone who works hard. And that's exactly who he is. And, you know, that's why he's the captain of this team.
It's a great fit on that team. When we do our preseason predictions, we do who's going to win. We do who's going to, you know, runner up, Conn Smythe, all that. And then we also, one of the picks is, biggest name to be traded. For a number of years, I kept saying John Gibson. He was not traded. I kept saying, so I didn't know what to do this year. I didn't have anybody to pick. I know it's a little bit different in Anaheim without John Gibson. Talk a bit about that.
It is different. And, you know, I think that it was a tough transition for the organization, but it came at the right time. You know, John Gibson, he wanted a fresh start, wanted to go have a new opportunity. And it really just worked out that Detroit was going to be the place and the Ducks get Peter Mrazek back. So not only that, but they started the season with three goaltenders, Ville Husso as well. He's down in San Diego now with the Gulls. So a good group on that end. But yeah, it has definitely been different this year. But the one thing I will say is that when that transition happened, the trade happened with Gibson, it immediately became clear that Lukáš Dostál is now the number one netminder. Right. Then he signs his contract. Pat Verbeek says, he is our guy. That's who we want. And then in all the conversations I've had with Dostal, he's made it very clear he wanted to be here long term. He really believes in this core. So it is a change. But I will tell you, our fans love the Dostwall, as they call him.
That's great. Yeah.
great nickname. Yeah. And, you know, he's such a calm presence every time you're watching him, but also off the ice too. It's just who he is. So to have him become the number one guy has been not really a surprise, I think, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it has been a good transition. And for Mrazek coming in as the backup this year, you know, he's, despite the goals against, he right. has had success, you know, with a win in every game he's played in. So it's worked out for the team. And I think it's also worked out for John Gibson because he gets the fresh Agreed. Start. He's not yeah. too far from home.
Right.
And he also gets to work with a guy like Cam Talbot, who's also, right. you know, a fantastic goalie.
Last couple games for the Ducks, couple of losses, Colorado and Detroit coming off that 7-game winning streak. What have you seen? Again, we talked about the Avalanche, just a juggernaut and pretty much unbeatable the whole season. What have you seen the last couple of games that, you know, maybe was not working for the Ducks that was in the previous few?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you want to tell the fans, hey, it's okay. You know, yeah. this was going to happen at some point. When you look back at that Colorado game, I thought it was a pretty good game from the Ducks overall. I don't feel like the final score was a depiction of the effort that we saw. Mm-hmm. Colorado is by far the best team the Ducks have seen this season. Right. And they've seen a lot of contenders already. I mean, they've seen New Jersey, Florida, Vegas, all these teams, but Colorado was a different animal. And I think that the start from Anaheim wasn't the best in that game, kind of playing a little bit of catch up. Obviously, that quick goal, literally in the first minute of the game, right. that's always right. going to throw you off your game. Yeah. And the starts have been kind of an issue for the team this year. That's an area that they want to improve. Even in that Detroit game, would have been last night, not the best start from the Ducks early in that game, playing a little bit of catch up. So I think that's an area that they're still working on, still room for improvement. As far as the penalties, that's been a little bit of an issue as of late too. They gave Detroit 4 power play chances last night, 2 goals on that end too. So I think discipline is an area that the team is still kind of working on a little bit. And the area that they've really shined this season is when they're using their speed, they're quick in transition, off the rush. Like, that is their core right now. Yeah. And I feel like at least in the Detroit game, it just wasn't it wasn't the same, and they were missing those details in their game. So overall, I think between the two losses, the Colorado game was a much better effort overall, just mm-hmm. playing a little bit of catch up. And Colorado is just was frankly, I mean, they're the best team. So yeah. it was disappointing. And I think that was a big learning experience. But the Detroit game, on the other end, it just wasn't the same Ducks team that we've been seeing. Mm. I think they're probably having a hard practice today, getting sure. them ready for the game on Saturday.
And then they have a tough week next week, too. I think they have 4 games, Utah and Boston, some Vegas. I think some really tough teams next week, right?
It does not slow down. No. They come back home. They have a 6-game homestand. Right. And yeah, it does start with Utah, who is a team that I'm very excited to play this year because sure. I'm curious how that matchup's going to be because I was impressed with Utah last year.
Yeah. Amazing the sustainability, too, when it comes to the franchise now with Utah. Everything's okay off the ice, and that's great. So now you can relax yeah. about doing the product on the ice. Quickly, when it comes to the Ducks, who has impressed you the most of someone, say, that you didn't, that kind of, all of a sudden, yes, he is actually, you know, not Leo Carlson, anybody like that. Who's kind of come out of the woodwork, if you will, and impress you a lot?
Yeah, I think that, you know, coming into the year, I was really looking at Cutter Gauthier to have mm-hmm. a big year. And that hasn't, I mean, he's, what we've seen from him has not disappointed or surprised me by any means. But I think defensively, because of all the young defensemen the Ducks have in their system, there was going to be some decisions on that end. And they have been without Radko Gudas lately. So they had to bring in a guy like Ian Moore, who's fresh off 4 years at Harvard last year, comes okay. in. I think he's been very reliable. But I think for me, it's been Olin Zellweger. I've really liked mm-hmm, mm-hmm. his game this year. Yeah. While he's not necessarily producing offensively like he can as a D-man, he has that 2-week game. I really like him with Jacob Trouba. I think they play so well together. And, you know, the way that Olin's been able to push his game to the next level this year. He's gotten a lot more physical defensively. And for his size, you know, he kind of needed to add that to his game. He's not afraid. And I think it's kind of pushed Jacob Trouba to be even better. I mean, he's taken on a lot more minutes with the absence of Gudas. So I've loved seeing how Olin Zellweger has taken the next step. And, you know, I've been happy for him too. I mean, it's right. good to see when a young player is, you know, having a strong start and someone that the team has needed to rely on too defensively.
One more before we get to 77 seconds. How much are you looking forward to the Olympics?
Oh, so much. Yeah. I cannot wait. And I think the best part is that, you know, we're expecting to see a couple different Ducks players in that.
Sure.
So whether it's on Czech, Sweden, hopefully the U.S. team as well. So even Italy, actually. So yeah. One of our prospects. So I can't wait. I will be tuning in for that. The Winter Olympics actually are my favorite between summer and winter.
Why
so
because of hockey or no? Or just in general?
Hockey. Well, now hockey, but I'm a skier. So
okay.
I love the skiing and all those events, and it's just I love it. So
is there any skiing in California?
Yes, there's great skiing.
Is
actually
okay.
The best skiing is about five hours from here. It's called
okay.
Mammoth Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay let's get into 77 seconds with you again. Seven questions. I may throw in one more, no timer, but kind of rapid fire. Biases aside, you're not going to get in trouble with whatever answer you say. Starting a team with Leo Carlson, Connor Bedard, or Macklin Celebrini?
If we're putting my bias aside, I'm going to choose Celebrini.
Okay. How much orange do you own?
A lot now. Way more than I ever had in my wardrobe before.
Full disclosure, I was actually looking for some orange today. I had one and it's not with me. And it's unfortunate because I was going to put it on just for you.
A rare day I'm not wearing it.
Yeah. Best memory working for the Chicago Steel of the United States Hockey League?
Ooh, I think that would be getting to work with Adam Fantilli. Both of the Fantilli brothers, Luca and Adam. I did a special package about the Steel, and I got to interview them. And they had told me at the time Adam was going to be staying another year, so kind of got some insider info. But I mean, so many great memories with them. But probably getting to know the Fantilli brothers.
I've been to Anaheim three times. I've flown actually in California three times. I flew into Anaheim once. I want to get there. Sell me on Anaheim.
It's the best. I mean, who doesn't love the beach, flip-flops, and hockey? It's
right.
You
and
have
skiing.
Everything you need. It's sunny. It's not sunny today, though. It is raining today. But yeah, I mean, you can go to the hockey rink and walk out in flip-flops. I don't know what else needs to be said about that.
Best of both worlds. I'm booking my flight tomorrow. I like to ask this with my guests. So one athlete, manager, coach, GM, any sport, doesn't just have to be hockey, past or present, that you would like to sit down and chat with.
Oh, that is a great question.
It can be a handful, can be a few.
You know, I think the young girl in me will always say Mia Hamm. I was
well
a soccer
said.
Player growing
well
up.
Said.
I would
yep.
love to sit down with her, pick her brain about mm-hmm. how the game has changed, you know, from her days to now. And yeah, I think that's the first person that comes to mind. Non-hockey, of course, too. But yeah, I guess we'll stick with Mia Hamm.
One of the legends when it comes to soccer on the women's side of things, soccer in general. You know Mia Hamm.
Yeah.
If you know anything about soccer, you know Mia Hamm. So the Mighty Ducks movie came out in 92. Then you had D2 in 94, D3 in 96. If they come calling for a cameo, if they're going to do another Mighty Ducks movie, would you be willing to act in it?
I would. I can't promise that my acting skills would
okay.
be that great. But yeah, put me on the ice. I'm ready.
How good, how bad is your cornhole game?
It's very good. And I
okay,
think
really? Oh.
it surprised a lot of the players. They were
yeah.
not happy with me.
Because I asked you that because I saw a video of that. So, okay, it's that good. So do you practice or what do you do?
Yes.
You do?
Fun
okay.
fact, we actually have every year an employee cornhole tournament for the Ducks.
Really?
And it's very competitive, marketing versus sales.
Okay.
And I have made it. I made it to the championship and lost. I made it to the semifinals and lost. And then last year was quarterfinals. So not
okay.
as good.
Okay, so you're kind of, you got to be trending back to the getting to the final.
It's my Midwest roots. I'm from Ohio. I played a lot of cornhole in my life.
Oh, love it. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate this. I know we've been chatting this week to get you on, so I'd love to do this again. And yeah, it's been a great season for the Ducks. I always like talking to people as well. We cover them, and if the team is playing well, it's a lot more jovial of a chat. So this has been that. So thanks again for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.